Turn in our Bibles to John's Gospel and chapter 7. Reading from verse 37. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. On hearing his words, some of the people said, "Surely this man is the prophet." Others said, "He is the Messiah." Still others asked, "How can the Messiah come from Galilee? Does not Scripture say that the Messiah will come from David's descendants and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived?" Thus the people were divided because of Jesus. Some wanted to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him. Finally, the temple guards went back to the chief priests and the Pharisees, who asked them, "Why didn't you bring him in?" "No one ever spoke the way this man does," the guards replied. "You mean he has deceived you also?" the Pharisees retorted. "Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed in him?" "No, but this mob that knows nothing of the law, there is a curse on them." Nicodemus, who had gone to Jesus earlier and who was one of their own number, asked, "Does our law condemn a man without first hearing him to find out what he has been doing?" They replied, "Are you from Galilee too? Look into it, and you will find that a prophet does not come out of Galilee." Amen. So in these short series, Straddling Pentecost, Born of the Spirit, How Jesus Redefines Your Life. Born of the Spirit, How Jesus Redefines Your Life. And today, a short reflection on a new heart God gives to us with the gift of the Spirit, a new heart. Last week, we reflected on a new identity. Today, a new heart. And today, as we think about receiving a new heart, what we're aiming to understand and to receive is that as Jesus gives us this new heart, as we are filled with the gift of the Holy Spirit, the goal is that we flow with life. We don't simply receive the Spirit as a gift for us to enjoy, but we flow with life. And we come to a fresh understanding of the blessing of the Sabbath. Now, any talk on the gift of the Holy Spirit, you probably weren't thinking that the preacher was going to talk to you about the Sabbath. Yeah? So that's an extra blessing for you today. We're going to talk about the Sabbath as well. But the gift of the Holy Spirit, born of the Spirit, how Jesus redefines your life, a new heart. Now, when we speak about our heart, sometimes we say that so-and-so is speaking from their heart. What do we mean by that? So they're acting from their heart. What we mean, I think, is we are acting out of our deep self. This is who we truly are, our source of being. That's what we mean. I speak these words from my heart. I'm acting out of my heart. This is who we are. This is perhaps our deepest, most authentic self, our true essence. And we know that we don't always reveal our heart to people. Often, for all sorts of reasons, we cover up our heart, or what we think is our heart, our sense of who we truly are. We know sometimes there is pain And we are afraid of being hurt again, perhaps, and so we don't reveal our heart. We don't reveal our true, most authentic self. But Jesus offers to us a new heart. Jesus, in the passage that I've just read, as he speaks to the crowd, he stands up and on the last and the greatest day of the festival. This is the Festival of Tabernacles. This is when the people, even today, they will construct tents or what they would call little tabernacles or booths, and they will spend time living within these little tents or tabernacles, normally in their garden or attached to their houses in some way. And it's a remembrance for them of the time when the people of Israel had been set free from slavery in Egypt and were making their way through the wilderness for 40 years on their way to what they regarded as the promised land. And the feast, this festival of tabernacles or the festival of booths, this is what they would be doing. And we are told that on the last and the greatest day of this festival, Jesus stands up. If anyone is thirsty, let them come to me and drink. If anyone is thirsty, what a great invitation. If anyone is thirsty, let them come to me and drink. And I guess we could pause there. If anyone is thirsty, Jesus says, we're invited. Go to Jesus and drink. And there is a sense, even in those words, hearing the words of Jesus, the one who is good, the one who is compassionate and kind, issuing that invitation. We know there will be refreshment. We know it'll be good to go to Jesus and drink. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers or streams of living water will flow from within them. And we have this extraordinary idea. Jesus says, if you're thirsty, come to me and drink. Sate your thirst. Know a deep, profound refreshment as you drink of Jesus. But then he says these extraordinary words. If you drink of me, streams or rivers of living water will flow from you. How does that happen? I like to drink water. I'm trying. I don't know about you guys. I'm trying to drink more water. Anybody else trying to drink more water? Yeah. We're told that it's good for us. It's the one thing we miss often with our clever diets and our exercise and our keeping fit. And we're told, drink more water. And I'm trying to drink more water. And Jesus says, come to me and drink. If you're thirsty, drink. But then he says, streams or rivers of living water will flow from you. And there's two different things going on here. I'm thirsty, so I drink. And that's good for me. My thirst is sated. I feel refreshed. But if you do that, streams of living water will flow out from you. Streams of refreshment will flow out from you to others. Other people around you, Jesus is saying, will be blessed because you have drunk of Jesus and you are refreshed. But something has happened. Something has happened as we do that. And streams or rivers of living water, refreshment and blessing will flow out to others around you. You will be flowing with life. You will be flowing with life. Now, as I was reflecting on this and working on this, I was taken back in my mind to a story I heard many years ago. I think I was probably just 12 years old, and I had started attending what was our after-church youth group, young people's group. It was a Sunday evening. In the old days, we'd have Sunday school earlier on in the day on a Sunday, and we'd have an evening service. Then after the evening service, there'd be a young people's group. Anybody else? Yeah? That was when church was proper church. And I remember I was 12 and I'd gone to the grammar school, so I was old enough to go to the young people's group. And it was kind of, say, young people, it was everybody up to the age of university age and a little bit beyond. And I remember a man came to speak to us. His name was Stephen Winwood. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we had Alan Payne, my former pastor, here speaking to us. And he was the minister when Sarah and I were members at Sutton Coldfield Baptist Church. And Alan Payne's predecessor at Sutton Coldfield Baptist Church was Stephen Winwood. And Stephen Winwood had actually at this time, he'd retired, but you know what some ministers do, they retire and then take on the pastorate of another church, which is what he'd done, another local church. And he came and spoke to us. And all these years later, I can still remember, he told the story of a hand pump in a desert. And I won't give you all the details of the story. But as I was reflecting this week, I remembered that story. A hand pump sitting in a desert. And as with many hand pumps sitting in the desert, what happens, of course, is that it dries up. It dries out. And put here, can you see the mechanics inside the hand pump? Let me just highlight this little bit. Right in the middle there, you can see plunger with leather seal. Can you see that? This might be familiar to some of you engineers are getting excited at this point. You think, why is this important? A plunger with a leather seal. At some point, somebody realized that having a leather seal in a pump that kept the suction so that when you move the handle, it would suck up the water from deep beneath the ground. Somebody at some point realized having a leather seal was a good thing. Because even though it would dry out in the desert, if you just applied a bit of water to that leather seal, then it would soften up and it would be back to as good as new. And when Stephen Winwood told a story about a pump in the desert, he told the story of how sitting by that pump was a bottle or half full of water. And everyone who approached that pump, having come through the desert, desperate for a drink, they faced a choice. Now, do I just drink the water from the bottle? After all, it's there. It's a gift. It's for me. The handle on the pump won't move because it's all dried up. But the choice is, do I drink the water and just receive it for myself? Or do I take the water from the bottle and pour it into the pump to soften the seal? Because if I do that, then I can pump more than enough water for myself and more than enough water for anybody else around as well. And I have the opportunity, of course, to fill that bottle back up and store it for the next person who comes. And I thought of that story because we always face a choice. When we come to Jesus, when we pray that prayer, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit, it can so much be about me. I am feeling thirsty. I need to be filled again. I need to know your peace. I need to know your touch on my life. I need refreshment. And it can so much just be about me. I'll take what I can when I can. Or we can say, that's not enough. I want to hold on to the words of Jesus. I want to claim the promise of Jesus. I am thirsty and I will drink of Jesus. That streams and rivers of living water might flow from me. That I might give life to other people. That I might give refreshment and goodness and kindness and love and compassion to other people. Jesus promises a new heart if we will drink of him, a heart that is ready to flow with life. Now, of course, in our passage that I read, we read those words. Jesus said, if anyone's thirsty, let them come to me and drink. Streams of living water will flow from within them. And the note is there by John as he writes this passage. By this, he meant the Spirit. By this, he meant the Spirit. The Spirit will flow out from you. The Spirit of Jesus, the life, the goodness, the kindness, the mercy, the love and the compassion will flow out from you to others. It will no longer be a blessing directly to you, but it'll be a blessing to many other people. And so we don't just claim this for ourselves, but we say, Lord, I would drink of your Spirit that I might be used, that I might be just ready and able to flow with your goodness. A new heart flowing with life, flowing with the Holy Spirit. Now, this is where we began, flowing with life and the blessing of the Sabbath. How does any of this happen? It's great to think about it and think, yes, I'm thirsty. Not only do I want to drink of Jesus, I want to flow with life. I want to flow with the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this is where we come to the Sabbath, the blessing of the Sabbath. In John's Gospel, not simply in John's Gospel, but particularly in John's Gospel, the reason people take against Jesus is because, in their minds, Jesus violates the Sabbath. Now, that's a strong accusation, but that's why people got mad at Jesus. That's why people wanted to seize Jesus. That's why people wanted to arrest him, put him on trial, and ultimately crucify him and get rid of him. Because in their view, he had violated the Sabbath. Now, what had Jesus done on the Sabbath? He had healed the sick. He had lived with compassion. He had known that experience of flowing with life to others. He had been a blessing, not just for himself, but for many others. But he'd done it on the Sabbath. One day in the week where people said, you couldn't do it. It was a sacred day, they said. You shouldn't do anything. You shouldn't work. When the ancient rabbis reflected on the Sabbath, they said, the scripture says that God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. And on the seventh day is the Sabbath. But the rabbis decided, their interpretation, the ancient rabbis decided, yes, God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, but God set aside yet another day on which he created the Sabbath. God creates space in time. And the rabbi said, this is God's greatest gift to us, that God would create a day of space. God would create a sanctuary in time where each one of us can put down all of the demands upon our lives. We can put down all the questions and the challenges, and we can return, as the rabbis would say, to our authentic self. We don't have to pretend on the Sabbath to be anybody else. We can truly be who God made us to be. We can return to our authentic self. But it is in that putting down. It's not in the rushing around. It's not in the busyness, but it is in the stillness and the sanctuary of the Sabbath that we discover and live our true selves. That is the source of who we truly are, flowing with life out from the Sabbath. And I know for myself, and I think it's probably true for many, we can say, Lord, I'm thirsty, I come to you, I want refreshment. And that's good. But then we say, why don't the streams of living water flow? Why don't the rivers of living water flow out from me? Why is that not my experience? And I wonder whether that's because I have not learned the secret of the Sabbath. That Jesus calls us to understand the Sabbath as it truly is, a true gift from God, as an opportunity to be compassionate and kind and merciful and good, to come to the stillness and the sanctuary of the Sabbath, and to wait upon God, to say there will be times in my life, whether, I'm not sure which day, to be honest, is a Sabbath anymore. You know, the Jewish Sabbath is a Saturday. Christians, we kind of say it's Sunday, but then we're busier than ever on a Sunday. But it's a call for us to say, where are those times in my week where I am disciplined, where I perhaps go off grid? And I say, I simply want to be who I truly am. I want to act with kindness and compassion and mercy. I want to give joy and refreshment to others. I will drink of the living water of Christ. But I will make sure there's space to be a blessing and a refreshment to others. And so today, the gift of a new heart, the gift of the Holy Spirit, Jesus would renew our hearts and call us to be those who don't simply drink of the Spirit, but those who flow with the Spirit, flow with rivers of living water. We're going to pause and we're going to be in silence for a minute. Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, let them come to me and drink. Streams of living water will flow from within them. Gracious Father, you are the good creator, and you created all things well. We thank you for the creation of Sabbath. Sanctuary in time, a space for stillness. Father, help us find that Sabbath space, that we might drink of the Lord Jesus. We might be moved to compassion and empathy and kindness. That rivers of living water will flow from within us. And having tasted of you, Lord Jesus, may we crave more. The joy we experience, may it draw us ever more closer to you. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen.